Tonight we're looking together at the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer, which moves us from focus on God and His glory, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, more to reaching out now as believers to God with our petitions, our needs. Give us this day our daily bread. And I'd like us to turn to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 6 and look at some of these verses that may be well known to you, verses 25 through 34. It comes right after a section where Jesus is warning about the deceit of riches and the ways in which our trust in our possessions and in riches and storing up treasures for ourselves on earth can really take away, become an idol in our lives and take away from our need for God. And now he moves towards the whole aspect of looking at possessions a bit of a different way in terms of worrying, being anxious about God supplying our needs, the necessities of our lives, the kind of things that he encourages us to ask for. And that could become another trouble, another problem in that we don't trust God and we're not thankful to God for his provision. And that's revolving around our theme tonight in praying, that he would give us each day our daily bread. So let's read together Matthew chapter 6 at verse 25. You might also keep your Psalter hymnals open to page 62. We'll be reading from the Catechism in just a few moments. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than them? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. It's our reading of God's word tonight. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, it's a passage about worry. It's a prayer about the ways in which we can be anxious, and Jesus, in knowing that, encourages us to pray. And it's interesting, before we pray for what we consider to be more important things, like the forgiveness of our debts and help in the middle of temptation, he starts with something much more simple. Give us this day our daily bread. We might say in a way that there's a good kind of worry or a good kind of intensity in our lives. It's a good kind of concern in terms of following the Lord Jesus Christ, making our calling and election sure, being concerned about whether we are truly serving his kingdom, doing his will, as we've been praying about, in connection with the kind of necessities that we're praying for, like food and clothing, our daily bread, or a good enough job to pay the bills, provide for ourselves and our families, a car that can get us back and forth to work, internet access that we need, the kind of just necessities that we have need of in this day and age, a spouse, an apartment. In connection with that, you know, there's a good sense of intensity in terms of working hard. You know, trusting in God for these things doesn't mean that we don't work hard. Those are connected. It's how God supplies our needs. To be industrious, to be wise, to be imaginative with what God has given to us, to get the schooling or experience that we need in order to pursue what God is calling us to. But there's also clearly a kind of bad and unbiblical worrying. Matthew 13 gives the example of those that receive the word and then, you know, it falls on some soil and then it starts to grow, but then the troubles of life are like thorns that come in and choke that seed out. Difficulties, anxieties, worries of this life, and those take over from the truth and the promises of God's word. It can easily suck out our trust and our confidence. In Philippians 4, Paul urges us, don't be anxious. And then he encourages us instead to pray with thanksgiving, an antidote to worry like nothing else, to be thankful and to pray without ceasing. We notice that along with this kind of worry is a lack of thankfulness in our lives. And so this petition is getting out a particular weakness, particular sin in our lives that we need to seek God's throne and we need to seek His grace for. So this question in terms of worrying about life's simple necessities. It seems simple, but it's actually very profound. To acknowledge, as we'll see in the catechism, that God alone is the source of everything good is such an important confession to make every day of your life. And to be brought back over and over again, even the stuff that we just started to take for granted here in America, where our, you know, fridges are full, we've got a freezer out in the garage, we've got a pantry full. Even if we were to kind of lose everything, we've got family and friends and food banks, even if we needed to fall back on. To be brought back to the experience of gratefulness that everything that we have comes from God's hands. It's a real antidote, it's a real healing balm to the kind of bitterness, complaining and muttering and grumbling that so often makes up my life. The sulkiness of complaining that things are not what I would like them to be. I feel my needs are not being fulfilled. So in this prayer, we lay our needs before Him, but we're asking for so much more. We're asking for thankful hearts and trusting hearts. It gets at the very center of what it means to trust in our Heavenly Father and to realize that everything we have comes from Him. We'll read this together in just a few moments, but it's neither our work and our worry nor your gifts can do us any good without your blessing. You are the only source of everything good. Help us to give up our trust in creatures and to put trust in you alone. And even when I have to do without something for a time, when He is withholding something that I might need and there's some desperation in my life, that God is using that to stretch me. God resists the proud, Peter writes in 1 Peter 5, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. You don't have to go very far in the Bible, and especially we read the apostles, where they're directing God's people in the middle of their needs. You don't have to go very far where they're directing our hearts to pray, casting our cares upon Him, thanking Him, moving us towards prayer in the ordinary stuff of life, the day-to-day needs and challenges of our lives. Jesus, in this passage, in the Sermon on the Mount, talks about ordinary stuff, our life, our bodies, and goes from the lesser to the greater. If He cares for this, how much more will He care for you? And we might read in that too, if He cares for such things of lesser importance like food and clothing, we can trust him for so much more. I want us to look at the two examples he gives. First of all, life and food, and then our body and clothing, and draw some instruction from this for our life of prayer in connection with this petition. Give us this day our daily bread. So let's look, first of all, at that first example of life and food, where he uses the example of God's care, the birds of the air, and how he feeds them. Now, we've got a bunch of little baby birds in some spaces in the roof of the overhang of our garage. And there's some space up there. There's some holes that were from some past drainage work that was done there. We haven't patched them up, and so there's tons of birds in there. They're making quite a mess, actually, on our patio. We're going to have to clean up. But in the meantime, you know, we've been able to enjoy seeing these birds. I actually don't know what they are. They're not swallows, but they're sitting out on the patio, and Mom will come by over and over again, maybe Dad too, I don't know, but bringing little pieces of worms. And every time they just stick their head in those holes, and all you can hear the chirping of these little birds as they take that little piece of worm and split it up. And they're just delighted in receiving that food. And what Jesus is saying is that God has provided a mom to come and to feed those little birds. And they're just birds. And there's like millions and millions of these birds all over the place. And they're there and they're just sitting in that space, and Mom comes along, and that's God. He's providing that mom for those little birds. He's providing the worm, and they're just trusting, you know, as far as birds can trust. They're not farming. They're not storing up in barns, and they're not reaping or gathering or anything like that, and yet your Heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? So look at the birds. Look at those little birds being cared for by the moms, which are provided by their Creator. In other words, constant worry about God providing our needs is an affront to a loving Father, because in a sense, he's not a father to those birds in the same way at all that he's a father to us. He's created us. He's provided a Savior for us. He loves us in a sovereign and a providential way over every aspect of our lives. So if he cares for them, you know, it's an affront to him as our father if we don't trust in him. There's evidence all around us of God's kind providence in our lives. Which of you, by taking thoughts or by worrying, can add one cubit to his life? He says in verse 27. That word there for stature can either mean, it's the same in the Greek, it can either mean your physical stature, or it can mean the length of your life. And it seems what he's saying by way of a Greek idiom is that who can, by worrying, add anything, just even one cubit, one span, one amount of time to our lives. God has determined the space of our lives, the length of our lives. He's determined a time where our life will end. Worrying can't change that at all. We can't travel any further in our lives in the span that God has set for us. So why worry? Why be anxious? Especially when you have a father who so clearly cares for you more than he cares so wonderfully for those little birds. I found in middle age, I guess that's where I'm at right now, that worry is an incredibly deceptive tool of the enemy of our souls. You know, we think about, you know, big sins like, you know, lust and murder, hatred, anger, and all that. But worry is an incredibly deadly sin. It shows a lack of trust in a Father who has loved us, has been with us, has guided us throughout our lives. You think in terms of the span of our lives, though, when you reach middle age, or you start to think a little bit more about You know, those that are older than you and are losing their strength. Those that are dying. Those that you know that have experienced disease or heart attacks or death and are weaker or who are gone. And you see people losing their physical and mental abilities. Myself, you know, you start to notice the diminishing of athletic abilities, and you know, it's distressing. You start to worry about, you know, what's going to happen a few more years. You get depressed and worried about losing those abilities. I talked to my mom on the phone, and she's got terrible short-term memory. I mean, she can remember stuff from a long time ago, but she forgets what she told me, you know, 2 seconds ago on the phone. And I find it depressing to see her going downhill like that. And we worry about the future. That worry, it pushes out thankfulness. It pushes out trust. Celebrating, noticing God's provision. And that's a terrible thing. It's a terrible waste of our energies and our thoughts. It's a time when we could be praising God and praying and celebrating His goodness. Now, Martin Luther wrote about these verses. He said, you see, He is making the birds our schoolmasters and teachers. It is a great and abiding disgrace to us that in the gospel, a helpless sparrow should become a theologian and a preacher to the wisest of men. Whenever you listen to a nightingale, therefore, you are listening to an excellent preacher. Every day, God feeds and nourishes innumerable little birds out of His hands, and we fail to trust Him for the daily necessities of our lives. So that's the first illustration, life and food. The second one is body and clothes. He talks about the lilies of the field in verse 28. That's actually a more common word. We don't know if he's referring just to, you know, one particular flower, you know, the lily. Commentators disagree on, you know, which flower referring to. It's probably just most likely referring just to wildflowers that tend to grow up in the middle of ordinary grass. It talks later about them being mown down and thrown into the fire, the stuff that's not harvested for anything useful. It gets thrown away. I think about the wildflowers you might encounter on a hike up in Mount Rainier or Baker during the end of the summer. All of a sudden, July or August, all of a sudden these tremendous, beautiful wildflowers grow up. And we saw that at Artist Point last year up on Mount Baker. And if you had come, you know, a month before, it wasn't there. But then suddenly God had just painted this marvelous streak of color, you know, in the faraway mountain ranges that you could see, and just splashed paint as it were on the canvas. And God sent them, and those flowers, they didn't work, and they grew, they didn't toil or spin, and yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. And Queen of Sheba comes to Solomon and sees all his wisdom and all of his glory and the beauty of his kingdom, and it's nothing compared to what God has painted in terms of the wildflowers among the grasses. And again, from the lesser to the greater, will He not supply what you need? Don't you trust Him? Aren't you full of praise rather than worry? Aren't you going about seeking His kingdom rather than always being anxious about what's going to happen tomorrow? What job you're going to have in the future? What spouse God's going to provide for you? Are you wasting time worrying instead of getting to work and praying and praising and living your life? It's clear that we're often not considering what God has done and how He has painted the picture of His providential goodness in creation. Spurgeon writes, "Lovely lilies, how you rebuke our foolish nervousness." Lovely lilies, how you rebuke our foolish nervousness. D.A. Carson says in a little more theological language, he says, "Biblical cosmology plus observant eyes engender real trust in God." A small wonder, he writes that Jesus calls those who do not perceive these lessons as men of little faith, or as someone put in the form of a poem. Said the robin to the sparrow, "I should really like to know why these anxious human beings rush about and worry so." Said the sparrow to the robin, "Friend, I think that it must be that they have no heavenly Father such as cares for you and me." Jesus goes on to urge a different kind of lifestyle. These are the things the Gentiles or the pagans, those outside of the faith, seek after. This is what they worry about. This is what their life is about. Possessions. Fulfilling the passions, the desires of the flesh. With the lack of trust in God, a lack of awareness and thankfulness and praise, that's distinctively pagan. It's not a small thing in our lives to lack in this kind of trust and this kind of praise and this kind of thankfulness. It's a denial of our profession of faith in Him, that we say we believe in Him and that He is working all things good for us, for those who love Him. To then not trust Him is to doubt and disbelieve His power to provide for us, and His willingness, His love to provide for us as our Father. He is well aware of our needs, and our disbelief in that is an advertisement loudly proclaiming that we don't quite believe that. The opposite to this clearly is prayer. And Jesus lovingly, tenderly gives us the fourth petition to pray. Give us this day our daily bread. A petitioning for our needs, a thankfulness for all that He provides, a willingness to get as excited as all creation does, or more than that, that He is such a good Father. And a prayer that our trust would increase, our confidence would increase, that our doubts, worries, and anxieties would abate. And only prayer, the power of the Holy Spirit, can accomplish that. Worry is certainly not good if you ask the doctors for your heart, for your arteries, for your stomach linings. All the kinds of ulcers will tell that story. It's a terrible threat also to our spiritual health. What's the heart of the matter? He ends by, or closer to the end, he talks about, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these things shall be added to you. When you're going about kingdom work and kingdom pursuits, all the first part of the Lord's Prayer, you know, the holiness of God's name, His kingdom, His will. Now, don't you think if you're doing God's work, then He's going to supply what you need in order to do that? So seek first His kingdom and then trust that what you need will be provided. I'd like to end with three more applications. First of all, notice that Jesus does not make this an individual prayer. He doesn't say, give me this day my daily bread. He prays, give us this day our daily bread. At least suggesting and directing that this is a prayer that is partially fulfilled by other believers. So when one believer has a need, we rally around them to provide for that need. That God has given us gifts and abundance in order to provide for those that have less. Give us this day our daily bread. And God chooses to answer the prayers of those with less and those with great needs by giving us more so that we might share with those that have less. That includes those in our own fellowship here who are lacking in finances or some kind of need, that we make sure that no one in our fellowship is suffering through some sort of need. But generally here in America, you know, it causes us to look outside of our own plenty and look to other places where there is so much need. You could do that by supporting an organization that supports orphans in third world countries, helping with a monthly donation to help with their education and food and clothing and the like. There's all sorts of ways you can do that. I remember a young man, a Christian young man back in New Jersey that was going to Christian college specifically to get a degree in business with the plan to go to a country in Africa where the PCA, the Presbyterian Church of America, had a ministry where they gave small loans to Christian businessmen and women to start businesses and to increase for their own family, to reward their entrepreneurial spirits, and to also increase the wealth of their communities. A way to enter into this prayer, give us this day our daily bread and help those in need. Definitely one of the best ways to cure the idolatry of so often of worshiping our possessions, trusting in riches, or becoming pagan in our worry is to give away generously what God has given to us. If you're looking for an antidote, clearly the scriptures give us as the best antidote to cheerfully give away what you have. And to give away in such a way that it's not easy, but it's a little hard to give further than you have been given. To work hard so that you can be able to give away to those in need. We could probably take what we spend on, you know, extras, like junk food and movie going and alcohol and, you know, just other luxuries that we don't need, expensive coffees, and feed entire villages in Africa for a year in the amount that we spend on those things. This is not something less, this is not something minor, this is incredibly important for the kingdom of God and for our own spiritual sanity and health. So give us this day, and we're required to, in that sense, consider this prayer also in terms of how we can supply for those in need. Secondly, we don't pray in this prayer for luxuries. We've identified, you know, necessities, things that are needful for us. This is not a prayer for luxuries. We shouldn't pray for those things that we don't truly need in order to serve his kingdom. But we often mistake luxuries for necessities and start to expect more than we truly need. It's hard to believe for myself sometimes to think about what Christy and I lived on back in our poor days. We went to seminary. I remember saving up $11,000 to go off to seminary, pay for seminary, which was pretty cheap back then, granted, and pay for housing and clothing and food and the like. And I made some money preaching. You know, we went to secondhand stores. We went on cheap dates. I drove a diesel Volkswagen Golf. Now, granted, it was like 75 cents a gallon back then, so that's a little different. But I look back in those days with great fondness, existing on very little and kind of trusting God every day to supply those needs. We believed we were in God's will and doing what he called us to do. And there are days when I know that I trusted and loved God more back then than I do many days today. I had less, but I was more like that little flower, that little bird, that wildflower, than I am now in many ways. So we're to pray not for luxuries, but for the necessities in order to serve his kingdom. And finally, just from verse 34, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. And somebody said it, he can imagine Jesus with a little bit of a wry smile as he finishes up this teaching. It's as though Jesus knows that we're bound to worry. We're bound to be concerned about stuff. And he realizes that we're weak. And that there are some legitimate worries, there's some illegitimate worries, and he says, at least just worry about today. It's enough just to worry about it. Don't worry about what's going to happen tomorrow. That's just a waste of time, thoughts, energy. That you need to worship God's, to serve God's kingdom today. So don't waste those energies on what might happen tomorrow. So it's like he's saying, let tomorrow's mark, worry about tomorrow's you know, worry about tomorrow and what's going to happen in your life tomorrow. Think about today. Pray this prayer today. Pray for and thank the Lord for whatever He provides you with today. And then do it again tomorrow and the next day as He provides. And know that there will be enough providence and love and grace, more than enough, for today, tomorrow, and the next today. Join me as we read together from Lord's Day 50, page 62. We'll conclude with this, the answer to question 125. It's the question, what does the fourth request mean? Let's say it together. Give us this day our daily bread means. Do take care of all our physical needs so that we come to know that you are the only source of everything good, and that neither our work and worry nor your gifts can do us any good without your blessing. And so help us to give up our trust in creatures and to put trust in you alone. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we look in the mirror, we look in our homes, we look around at each other, and we know you've blessed us abundantly. Thank you. Thank you for all of your provision. Thank you for every full plate, every cup full of drink, every car that we drove here, every hospital, doctor that we've been to. Thank you for the jobs you've given to us. Thank you for the roof over our heads. Thank you, Lord, for this and so many other, just the basic needs that you have provided for us. Thank you for fellowship, relationship, friendship. Thank you for moving in such a way so that we might see that these come from your hand. But Lord, we pray for help in being truly thankful. And Lord, absolutely trusting you. That as we go about doing your will, seeking first your kingdom, that you will provide whatever we need. The Lord, make us dependent upon yourself, just like those wildflowers, those little birds. Just know they're going to be provided for. Lord, we have so much more in terms of our knowledge of you, our relationship with you. You are our Father. And so, Lord, we pray that you would deliver us from the kind of worry, sinful worry and anxiety that would really endanger us spiritually. Lord, really moves us towards a lack of faith, a lack of trust. Deliver us from that. Make us generous with what you've given to us. Give us this day our daily bread. Thank you for your provision. And Lord, we pray that under your Spirit's tutelage and help, we might trust you and serve your kingdom more and more this coming week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.